Paul Harris, you've been shaking up the South African news scene in the last 24 hours.
Come on.
A proposal to merge Rain with Telkom. We're going to talk a lot more about Rain in a moment and why you think it's going to be a good business deal. But Business Day's headline this morning was all about the takeover regulation panel being really upset that you didn't follow due process.
No, Alec, we're very respectful of all the regulators. And we slipped up here, and we are engaging with the regulator. I think the issue is that it's not a proposal. It's a request for a meeting. And then the press release we put out was just explaining why this is, to get debate going and so on. So we're engaging, we've taken legal advice, and we're going to comply 100% with the regulator.
So you're not doing an Elon Musk?
What is that?
Well, the way he was always fighting with the regulators.
Definitely. I've been there before. You don't fight with regulators. You respect them. And we've got good regulators.
The Telkom share price jumped yesterday. So it shows there must be some people who think, hang on, if this goes through, this could be quite a business.
We'd like to think so. I'm not certain if that was the reason for the price to go up. But we do think there's really some very interesting things that we could do as a combined entity.
It's almost 25 years ago that you did something similar. When you, Lowry Dipenaar, and GT Ferreira took your little RMB, as it was then, and merged it with FNB, which was much bigger, and created today Africa's most valuable financial services group. Is this what's going on in Paul Harris's mind?
There's a bit of deja vu. I think that I have obviously learned a lot, and it's not me driving it at this stage. You know, we've got a great management team driving it. But yes, there are huge similarities. I think there are a lot of lessons that we learned then that we could use now if something comes of this.
Huge similarities in what way?
Well, you've got a large, you've got a super tanker with some fantastic people in it. It's got very good systems. It's got great infrastructure. And then let's call us a speedboat. Maybe what's a little bit bigger than a speedboat. So now you combine the two and you've got something quite special, because the big super tanker hasn't necessarily got the growth potential of the smaller one. They've got legacy. And in telcos, there's huge legacy. You know, you have 2G and 3G, incredibly expensive. A lot of devices out there with 2G and 3G. You have to continue supporting the devices. There's also a legacy in things like business systems, business processes, the way that you distribute. Those are things that you can't really get away from. Very similar to the banking situation. When we first got involved, it was all about branch banking. Over the years, we become much more internet and so on bank. But it's very difficult to then transform the branch into the internet environment. So I just see a lot of similarities in that. And then the other thing is fantastic people. You know, one of the things we found when we went into FNB, we were seen as sort of young, sort of smart asses. And there were people within FNB that the only reason they weren't really performing was that they didn't have the culture. They didn't have the empowerment that you get in a smaller company. So I think if you have a merger like this, what would happen is you would try and influence the culture. You don't impose a culture on something. You influence it. And maybe that you can influence it to be a more empowering culture, you know, to bring out the latent potential of the staff and the management and so on. So it's a relationship that you'd have to build. You don't just switch it on. And I think, well, I've been involved in that before. Michael Yordan's been involved. Willem Roos, Pumlani's with us. We've got some really, Lela, we've got some great guys that that can assist.
I can imagine somebody thinking, what textbook did he read? But actually, you did it at First Rand. Everybody talks about empowering staff, about having a culture where people become innovative. But you took, at the time, FNB, the last thing they would ever have done is win a World Award for being the most innovative bank on earth. And yet you made that happen. You had the class of.
Yeah.
Often I interview people and I realize afterwards, jeepers, Paul Harris had a role in their development as well.
Yeah.
So it's a different way of thinking. What would be big thing that you brought that you could bring to this merger?
Yeah, you're very flattering, but okay, so let's say some of it is true. But Alec, there are a couple of key things about empowering. As you say, everybody says they do it. There's not a single CEO that if you ask, are you empowering your staff, that they wouldn't say they are. Now, the type of things we did is we broke the company into a lot of small pieces, lots of small divisions, and we made each division accountable for what they were doing. Okay, we called it chunking. So whether it is just a small, let's say a little regional office in a remote town, they've got their own profit and loss account and so on, and they presented and they took ownership of their strategy, took ownership of their profits, took ownership of their capital expenditure and that type of thing. So that's what we mean by empowering people. It's quite a big job, but it's breaking it up into lots of small pieces. And then I think if you were to take our culture and describe it just very simply, it's owner-manager. And I do think I see other people are now using it, but that is a concept we coined. That in that small business, and with sometimes a big business, you know, a big call center or something like that, but in that business, you manage it as if it were your own. So, and that's always a question you probably can ask somebody, you know, sir, should I do this? What would you do if this was your business? And it's very often different to what the great big establishment tells you that you should do. And generally, you'll get the right decisions and you'll get the right process, and then people take ownership of it. You know, if you're involved in that and you're accountable to it, it's a tough school also. You know, that's the other thing. There's not a lot of room for mediocrity and people that are sort of loafing around. You know, you have to perform. You know, you go out there, you have your, you set your targets and so on, and you're accountable to it.
Did you lose a lot of people at F&B? Because I'm sure the guys at Telkom now are thinking, hey, I'm not sure want this.
Look, I think there are a lot of people in all large companies, and I won't use Telkom as an example, but all large companies that there's so much as latent potential. If you just unlock that latent potential, you know, if you go to a woman sitting with a whole pile of papers around them in a place, very often they're the people that are actually running a division or a branch. And then I used to do it, and I used to say, now, what would you do if this was your branch? Oh, well, I wouldn't have this passing on to that. And I said, why don't you put up a proposal to do it in that way? So I do think that if people are going there only for 8 to 5 to collect their check and so on, and they don't wear the T-shirt, and they're not inspired, then it's not good for them. So you ask, did we lose a lot of people? Most people fell on their swords. Not many, but some people said, look, this is not quite for me. I think there's a too tough an environment for me. But very small proportion, very small
proportion. So the majority actually changed.
Without a doubt. Yeah. That's, I think, how we created what we have of FNB now. But we made huge mistakes. We thought we could just switch it on. We realized that this is something you must take slowly. It's about influencing the culture, not changing the culture. You don't go in and change a culture. You influence and say, okay, we're here to work together. You know, and in this case, our approach would be, we're a partner. We've got some things we can contribute here, and we want to work together. And one of the things is maybe we can influence the culture. So that's sort of the thinking I would have.
The stock market can get it wrong in the short term, but long term, it gets it pretty right. And First Rand, the bank that you created, is the most highly rated bank outside of Capitec, which is a special situation, on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, from being one of the most poorly rated. If there's a repeat here, let's just say that the merger goes through, that Rain and Telkom get married. It's not going to be happy news for the incumbents. Especially MTN and Vodacom. MTN because they want to do the deal with Telkom in the first place, and Vodacom because they're the dominant player. I don't know about Cell C, where this would put them. Yeah. But aren't you expecting some kind of objections to them?
Look, it's called competition. You know, who you should really ask is the consumer. What would they like? Would the consumer like people competing with one another, going tough at one another, or were they like a more comfortable environment of a duopoly? I don't have a single consumer that wouldn't go for a triopoly. So competition is what we want. Competition is government policy. It's the basis of what we're doing. Competition policy, you know, the competition authorities are there to ensure that there is free and open competition, which is good. So ask the consumer. And it just makes it maybe make it a little bit tougher. You know, I can't talk for the other people, but maybe MTN, there's so much sort of stronger, got so much more, will become too sort of dominant, more difficult to compete with. So incidentally, this suggestion that we're talking about, Telkom hasn't got two options. It's not about whether they go with the MTN deal or they go with Rain. They've got a strategy that they've put in place over the last couple of years. At 1st of September, OpenServe becomes a new company. You know, so going it alone, carrying on as they are, is definitely number one option. Now there are a few other options may be put on the table. Obviously, a board has to listen to them. And that's our view. Hey, there's an opportunity here for the company, so let's listen. And there may be other options as well that they would consider, and you do what's in the best interest of all your stakeholders. And your stakeholders are your shareholders, your staff, and the society.
It's a big decision for Rain, though. Rain has been a success story from the outside. Has it been actually a success story since you launched it 6 years ago?
I always say that in business, you must be a small mosquito in a big artery. Now, I was at a talk yesterday, and the minister pointed out that telecommunications is going to be the biggest industry in the world in, I think, 2025. Okay, so it's a huge artery. Now, if you're a small mosquito on that artery, you're going to get enough out of that artery. And that is what we did with Rain. But we happen to have the huge benefits of a fantastic spectrum portfolio. Our spectrum portfolio, when we started, in many respects, was as good as some of the bigger companies. And so we started with an opportunity that a small company wouldn't necessarily have if it didn't have that.
How did you get that?
Well, we bought WBS. That was 6 years ago. Now, WBS had a spectrum portfolio, but if you go back 6 years ago and you look at the number of videos you looked on your phone, data wasn't seen as a big thing. Spectrum wasn't even seen as valuable. The last spectrum auction in America, 70 billion. South Africa, 14 billion. Was picked up from spectrum auction. Before you had data, before you had this incredible demand and what's happened to the ecosystem, you didn't have that. And what we know, it's going to carry on exploding. You know, virtual reality, all that type of thing. You know, people talk about driverless cars. I think going forward, it's things like virtual reality that's going to make huge difference.
So are my Meta shares going to be worth more money one day? Because that's a virtual reality bit.
Well, if it is, then your telco shares will also be worth more because they carry all the data that those guys use. Well,
the most extraordinary thing to me out of the MTN results that came out yesterday, it was 6 months to end June, was 33% growth in their revenue from data.
Yeah.
Which, and we're seeing the data costs are going down, so the volumes must be...
The volumes exploding. Are multiples more than that.
Exploding.
Yeah, because the prices are coming down, whichever way you look at it.
You mentioned Michael Jordaan. He was very high profile CEO of that same First That's National right. Bank and a very innovative thinker and has gone on to do interesting things. Willem Roos was also with you at OUTsurance, which was part of First Rand.
Right.
Are you likely to be bringing them into the mix? Were this deal to go?
Well, they're on the board of Rain.
So they're involved.
They're
anyway.
On the board and shareholders of Rain. They're as keen as you can. You know, none of our directors, other than one who's an expert that doesn't live in South Africa, so there are a lot of costs attached to him traveling. None of our directors have ever taken 1 cent of directors' fees. And we're all passionate about the business. And we had a great opportunity of selecting the people that we felt could make a difference. We got Pumlani Maloli, we've got Lelo Rantloni. We only talk about business. And so we haven't got all the sideshows. You know, so it's been a fantastic experience so far. But we don't want to lose it, by the way.
To make this deal happen, you also have to convince government, because government is a 40% shareholder in Telkom.
In terms of the takeover regulations, you don't engage with the shareholders. We haven't engaged with the shareholder. We'll follow the proper process. When it gets around to engaging with the shareholders, we will engage with the shareholder.
But you must get some indication whether government will entertain this or not. Otherwise, you'll be wasting a lot of time.
Alec, our view, naive or not, is that the business case prevails. It's not about lobbying for influence and all that. I've never been one for that. We put on the table what the business case is. This is why it's good for the stakeholders. The stakeholders being the shareholders, the community, the society and so on. That's what's, so it's the business case. Put it on the table, good or bad. You know, this thing that you must lobby for influence. You know, there are a lot of people that have never read the business case and they have an opinion about it. I don't get it. Am I being naive?
What is the business case?
The business case is that if we get to a point where we can merge these two companies, the opportunities of creating a company with a great basic infrastructure, and then on top of it go into 5G, which is where the world is going, where we have got the biggest standalone 5G network outside of China. In the world, RAN has got it. It's RAN's network. We've got 1,500 sites around the country, and that's where things are going. So from our perspective, you take this great big super tanker and you put on something like 5G. It's where the puck is going. You know that old concept, you don't play where it is, you go where it's going. That's where the puck is going. And now you go to the super tanker and say, right, we're going to give you something that'll enable you to be a very strong player in where the puck is going. That is what we're talking about.
It's an exciting prospect, Wayne Gretzky.
Very, yeah.
But underlying all of this has to be a view on South Africa. Mm. Now, Paul, I've admired you, as have many others, over the years, even in the darkest times, for your resilience and your optimism. Mm. To do something, even propose something like this, or suggest that you're going to propose something like this, must give us some insight into your view that South Africa is a place that can come right.
You know, I really think so. I mean, we've got fantastic people. We've got this incredible diversity. The pot boils often, you know, people make statements and they fight about little things and so on. But generally speaking, we move forward. And there's created great businesses, for example. Some of our institutions are good. They're under threat, but I think if you look around everywhere else around the world, everybody's got problems. We've got good people. One of our biggest problems is this negative thinking. We must think going forward. There are a lot of things we have to change. I mean, corruption is ridiculous. I mean, how are we sort of fiddling around without doing something about it? Look, we try and do something, but, you know, it's at this stage, you can get quite depressed about it. Crime, you can get depressed about that. But we generally move forward. And we've got no other option. I mean... I'm never going to leave this country, right? A lot of people that live in this country aren't going to leave. So why do you waste brain space and so on and your and energy and talking all these negative things and being negative? Park it and be positive. Think about good things that are going forward.
But you managed to do that with the people who surround you. Mm. However, there are many other pockets of negative thinking. How would you be able, let's just say you walked into a room of a bunch of people who were telling you why you should emigrate and your kids and your grandkids and everyone should get the hell out of this country because it's going down rapidly. How would you respond in that kind of meeting? Would you just turn around and leave? Or would you try
look, it frustrates the hell out of me. I want to change the subject. But a very an easy question is, say, in 5 years' time, what do you want to be doing? Sitting in the same seat now complaining about South Africa? Or would you like to park all your complaints and do something about it? And you know what? Most people, they've been complaining for 10 years, maybe 20 years. And they're still here. They still enjoy the sunshine. They still enjoy this incredible place. So, yeah, I find it frustrating. But maybe that's what I'd say. You know, decide now. If you say the option is to leave, well, then leave. But don't sit around and complain and take all the energy out of the system complaining. And then in 10 years' time, you're still complaining.
So let's go 5 years ahead.
Yeah.
Back to Rain Telkom.
Yeah.
The merger goes through. The government says, yes, it's a good idea. It's going to bring more competition. The competitors will kick and scream. They have to, because it's not good for their business. Yeah. The status quo is being disrupted. But eventually, that gets superseded. The takeover panel is happy. You followed all the rules in Mark II. How might this organization look 5 years on? And maybe you could draw on your experiences with FirstRand, with the RMB, FNB story that the two of us know well and not maybe younger people wouldn't be that aware of. What do you feel would show that it was a good decision 5 years time looking back?
If we had people that were proud to be associated with whatever the company is at the end, that company was creative and had leadership in a lot of things, leadership in the new things that in the industry, like 5G, for example. And that they were, I won't say dominant, you can never dominate, but they a seeded player in those sort of markets. I think the thing that I'm probably the most proud of is getting the award for the best company to work for when I was at RMB. And I would love that to be, I mean, that I would see as a huge success. And it's an achievable thing, you know. I think at FNB, people liked working at FNB, but they weren't proud of it. Now they puff their chests out, they wear an FNB jersey, and you know. And so that I would see as success.
Paul, before we go, who owns Rain?
It's all private shareholders.
And they're all happy to put it into a pot with Telkom?
All we're saying is we want to do an analysis to see if the business case prevails. So the Rain board and the Rain shareholders are also going to have to make the decision. You know, if we get to the point of actually making a proper analysis, then we must decide. And it could be. We have to have an open mind. We could evaluate it and we say, no, it's not for us. It could happen. But on the face of it, on the desktop analysis of it, it looks like something that we must pursue.
You've made two really good bets in this area, in this telecoms area, when you bought the spectrum six years ago to create Rain, and then focusing on 5G, which is as you said, it's the fastest growing area, and it is the one where you have the dominant position in this country. Is the suggestion to propose a merger the third leg of that trifecta? Can you see it as big as that?
It could well be. It could well be. You know, in on the 16th of September in 2016, there was a billboard that said new company or something like a new company goes for 5G. I'll send you a picture of it. And that was 5 years ago, or 6 years ago. So that's where we started thinking about this. And we then also had the spectrum to build a 4G network, which we did. We then got Vodacom to roam on it. And we've always had the 5G aspiration. And it's now getting to the point where we can really scale it. You know, the business is you know, got a huge, really good EBITDA now. And you know, when you go through your, when you get to critical mass, your any additional business is at a much better margin because you paid all your fixed costs, et cetera. So our growth from here, I mean, we're budgeting and we're projecting it to be quite spectacular. It has been up to now. We've tracked our projections spot on up to now, and we're confident that we're going to continue on the, you know, to meet our projections.
But people like Michael Jordan, Willem Ruys, yourself, are seeing that the growth will be even better together with Telkom.
Yes.
That's the story here.
And off a bigger base. But the other thing is elimination of a lot of duplication in CapEx in building networks. You know, you're not building two networks. You're effectively building one. So the CapEx will be huge, would be huge. So would the OpEx. Things like the some of the core systems, you know, in China and India, they've got systems that deal with 100,000, 200,000 customers. You know, these systems can scale. You know, so you don't need two of them. You need one. And so those are the type of cost savings that you could get.
What happens next, Paul?
Next is we're going to comply with what the takeover regulatory authority is doing. And we'll need to make an announcement about that quite soon. And then hopefully we'll get to a point where we can really do a proper analysis of this. As you may have seen, Telkom did make an announcement that they are happy to get a proposal from us. So we'd like to then get to a point where we can engage with them and get a bit more information under with an NDA, of course, and then they'll obviously want to look at RAN. And then we get to a point at some stage where we come up with another broad proposal. And if it really goes further than that, we get to a point where we actually make a firm proposal.
Paul Harris, co-founder of First Rand, the chairman of RAIN, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.